So I start with asking a question, the same question I asked this morning. And the question is simply this. What are you banking on? By banking on, I don't mean your financial institution where your money is held as much or as little as you have, but what are you banking on? What do you depend on to get you through this life? What do you count on? What do you rely on? Because all of us put our confidence, we put our trust, we put the full weight of our lives on something or someone. What do you bank on? But I found out something in this life, y'all. Listen, that there's truly little in this life that you can count on, that you can depend on, that you can really bank on. What do you do when your bank goes bust? What do you do when that job you thought you could count on, that you saw yourself going to retirement, thousands of federal workers are now out of employment, thought they would have a job, but they no longer have a job. It went bust. What do you do when your bank goes bust? What do you do when your health goes bust? When you can't depend on what you thought you could depend on before, when you're holding on to a podium to make sure that you don't wobble and you don't fall. What do you do when you get that report from the doctor that shocks your mind, that blows your mind? You never thought you would be in that situation. You never thought cancer would be attached to your name. What do you do when your health goes bust? You can't depend on your health. Well, what about the relationships that we thought would always be there? People would always be in our life. Anybody have someone ever walk out of your life? To turn their back on you? To talk about you and put you down? What do you do when people turn their backs on you and relationships go bust? What do you do when there's a relationship, there's a loved one in your life, and you thought you'd have longevity with that person, but they're no longer here? And sometimes you find yourself sitting in an empty house, listening to echoes that once were of your loved one that's now gone. What do you do when bank goes bust, when there's nothing you find that you can depend upon? I heard somebody say a long time ago, two things that we can depend on, there's taxes and death. So now that I have depressed you and discouraged you, I just want to take just a few minutes to encourage our hearts today. Let us know that there is something that we can depend on. There's someone that we can depend upon on this Communion Sunday, this Lord's Supper Sunday. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. As we examine verses 11 through 12, I would that you would read the entirety of Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10. I wish we had time for some real old-fashioned expository preaching. That's where you go line upon line and precept upon precept in maybe an hour from and a half. Now, we'd be done with the sermon. But we're going to cut through the woods. We're going to make it a little, some of y'all saying, thank you, Pastor, for doing it that way. So expository, but make it short, yeah. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12, and I'll read from the New Living Translation about that. It says this, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands, is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, with his own blood, with his precious blood, he entered into the most holy place. Once for all time, it secured our redemption forever and forever and forever, and we're glad about it. I want to talk to us this morning, encourage our hearts from the thought this morning. I'm banking on the blood. I'm counting on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm banking on his blood. I'm happy about, I'm enjoying about the blood, but I'm banking on his blood, y'all. I'm counting on his blood to see me through and to keep me. I'm banking on the blood of Jesus Christ. How many people believe the blood still works? Don't fool me now. How many believe the blood still has power? It worked on yesterday. It'll work on tomorrow. It is working right now today. I'm banking on the blood of Jesus Christ. We bank on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's 21st century church today. We don't sing a whole lot about the blood. We don't preach a whole lot about the blood. But there's something about the blood, y'all, that gets me happy. There's something about his blood that gets me excited, y'all. I'm glad about the blood of Jesus Christ. that it washes away my sins. It cleanses me and makes me whole. I'm glad about the blood of Jesus. And so I want us to know this morning that we can bank on the fact that the blood of Jesus, it still has power. But ask yourself the question, what does that really mean? That the blood of Jesus really still has power. What does it mean to us today? I wonder, I don't know. I suppose if I had a vial or a bottle of Jesus' blood and I poured it out on you today, would it heal you? Would it help you? I hope it would, but I don't have a vial. I don't have a bottle, so I can't really speak on that. We talk a lot about the cross and the power of the cross, and a lot of us wear this cross around our neck. But I wonder sometimes, is it like some magic talisman, something that we just wear without understanding what it really means, what the cross really means, and what the blood of Jesus really, what it really means. But I think it's critical to the Christian faith for us to understand why the blood of Jesus still has power. And what it means to know that it still works today. So we're in the book of Hebrews right now. The Hebrew writer is unknown. Many say that it was the Apostle Paul, but we don't know. But what we do know when we read the book of Hebrews is that the writer elevates the superiority, the greatness, and the majesty of Jesus Christ. The writer says to us today that Jesus is greater than angels. I heard somebody say in a song that angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, that Jesus is greater than the angels, that Jesus is greater than angels, but he's also greater than the man Moses. Many remember, we read about the Old Testament prophet Moses, the deliverer of God's people out of Egypt, that he takes them through the desert and he leads them up to the promised land. That he's a great deliverer, the one that can stand face to face with God and talk to him, the man Moses. But my Bible tells me, and the Hebrew writer says, there's a greater deliverer than the man Moses. And I can tell you from personal experience, I know him because he delivered me out of my sins. He set me free, and I am free. Yes, I'm no longer bound, no longer chained today. I'm free because of Jesus. I'm free because of his blood. And then Jesus is more superior. He's greater than the Old Testament priesthood. Aaron and all of those along that line, which really takes us to where we are in our text for today. That when you read Hebrews chapter 9, it takes you to what we call a tabernacle scene. That the tabernacle was really a tent, a portable tent that the nation of Israel would carry with them when they wandered through the wilderness after they left Egypt, that it was built according to God's specifications. God told them exactly how to do it. They followed God's instruction. Man, it's so important to always follow God's instruction. Whatever God asks you to do, do what God asks you. However he tells you to do a thing, do it the way God tells you to do a thing, and you won't go wrong. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you won't go wrong. So they followed God's instruction. They built the tabernacle. Some call it the tabernacle of Moses. Real straight and simple, let me cut through the woods a little bit. That the tabernacle, this tent-like fixture, had two rooms in it. That it had a holy place. That's the place where the showbread was. And so the priest could go into the holy place, but only the high priest could go into the holiest of holies. That he had to pass a curtain and go into the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. The word tabernacle actually means to dwell. Isn't it good to know that God dwells with us? The God that dwelt with Israel in a tent. The God that dwelt with the nation of Israel in attendance, and now y'all, he's the God, y'all, that dwells with us. That he's made his tabernacle, that he's made his home in our hearts today by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that he tabernacles with us today, that he dwells on the inside of us, that we have God's presence in us. And so once a year, y'all, I'm giving you a little bit of history. The high priest went into the holiest of holies to make a sacrifice to God. And it was a blood sacrifice. It would be some form of a bull or a goat, but it was to sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the nation of Israel. And so I want you to understand real quickly that the blood sacrifice, it's really it's a symbol of the redemptive, sacrificial, atoning work of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? It's simple. Because of the blood, we saved. That's just what it's simple. That he sacrificed his life for you and for me. And isn't it amazing today? Listen, Easter has already passed us and we're still talking about the blood. We're still talking about the cross. There probably ought not be a Sunday we don't talk about the blood. We don't talk about Calvary. We don't talk about the... We need to talk about it, y'all. It's the centrality of our faith and who we are as believers. The Hebrew writer lets us know that the new covenant of grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than or better than the Old Testament law. That's what you read in Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10. Greater how? Because I need one person in here that can tell me that you can abide by every law that God speaks from his mouth in a perfect way. I rest my case. So this New Testament thought of grace and mercy from God is far superior to than the law in the Old Testament. So that's why I bank on the blood, y'all. I had a young man talking to the other day, and we were just talking, just chopping it up about some stuff, and we started talking about salvation and knowing how you're saved, how you save you. And I just told him, listen, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm counting on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm depending on what Christ did for me at Calvary, y'all. That's all I got. I go for broke, y'all. I ain't got nothing else, y'all. I can't depend on me, y'all, because I'm jacked up half the time, y'all. My head is crazy half the time. I'm counting on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm counting on the work that Jesus did for me at Calvary's cross. I'm banking on it, y'all. I'm depending on it. I got confidence. I have confidence in Christ in the cross. I have confidence in the blood, y'all. I don't know about you, but I trust in the blood. I'm banking on the blood of Jesus. So let me leave you with a few reasons. Father, thank you for the blood. I'm getting happy all by myself, y'all. I'm getting happy all by myself. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. So let me leave you with just a few thoughts, y'all, and then we'll go home and we'll get some grits and some eggs. As high as they are, what are we going to get? And we're going to go on with our day. But the first thing I want to understand, why the blood is so important to our Christian faith is simply this. The blood cleanses your sin. Oh, I thought y'all was going to shout and start running on that right now. When you know how greatly you sin and how good God is and the fact that he cleansed you with his blood, that ought to make you happy. That ought to make you dance. That ought to make you shout. But it's a sense, it's what Clarence Haynes calls the oxymoron of blood. Oxymoron, there's a big word, y'all. An oxymoron is a figure of speech that combines contradictory words or concepts. When we think of the word original copy, I'm going to give you the original and copy. Well, which is it? The original is the copy. That those are contradictory words. When we talk about something as bitter, sweet. Bitter and sweet, they're contradictory. They don't go together. It's bitter or sweet. Said to the folk this morning, listen, when you talk about a chicken that's Popeyes, that's oxymoronic, y'all. That just don't make no sense to me. It's contradictory. It's a concept that doesn't make any sense to me. Y'all, so years ago, right after COVID, I shared this right after COVID, y'all, drove up to Popeye's chicken, y'all. And some of y'all know, I'll say what you want. I like me some Popeyes. I proceed into the door. I'm going, getting ready to go. A gentleman is standing there with his foot against the wall. I can tell he works. He's got it out. He says, sir, we don't have no chicken. I said, Lord, say what now? I wanted to say something, the devil is alive, but I made it scared him. But he said, they don't have any chicken. I'm looking at the site. It says Popeye's chicken. How can Popeye's not have any chicken? It's oxymoronic. But there's one fascinating thing, there's an amazing thing about the blood of Jesus. That blood, when it normally stains something, y'all, it's hard to get that blood out. Have y'all seen those detective shows when somebody, you know, they kill somebody, blood is everywhere. They think they wiped it all up, got it all out the way, and they take this little light. No, we still see blood everywhere. That's right. That, y'all, we don't like blood to stain stuff, y'all. To stain our clothes and to stain the couch, to... It's hard to get blood out of something. That's why when people come, they look, do what you, but don't bleed on nothing. Don't bleed on my good couch. Don't bleed on this carpet, y'all. So don't bleed. It's hard to get the blood stain out of anything, but here's the fascinating thing. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says this: "But if we walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin." It's a cleansing agent. Some of y'all are going to get that by the time you get home. That this red blood of Jesus Christ, it does not stain, but it cleanses us from all of our sin. Y'all, that's oxymoronic. Because blood is supposed to stain. But Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sins. So, know this. If you're here today, that it's the spilled blood of Jesus that allows you and me to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That when we are in him and our life is in him, he washes us clean by the power of his blood. And it's the only cleansing agent that we can have that brings us redemption and a relationship with God. So I heard somebody say in a song a long time ago, they said, only God can take a brown cow that eats green grass and produces white milk. Only God, y'all, can take a black soul and mix it with red blood and make it clean and holy clean. Hallelujah to God. It was Isaiah that said it best in Isaiah 1 and 18, that Isaiah gives us an invitation to discuss our depravity with God, our secret sins with God, to talk about our closest confessions with God. And here's what he says. He says, "Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Come, let us settle the account, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they're like wool, though they're like crimson, I'll make them white as wool." That God can take the darkness, the blackness, the depravity of our sins, and make them white as snow only by the power. What can wash away your sins? Tide washing powder? Some of y'all still remember those old commercials that it's Tide that gets the stain out of the Dawn dishwashing liquid. Can 409 do it, y'all? Can whatever you use to clean with, OxyClean that man used to scream on TV, OxyClean, it'll take the stain out. But what can wash away your sins? Don't you understand? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood cleanses you from sin. It's oxymoronic. But know this too. The blood cleanses your conscience. It is the qualifying blood. His blood is qualifying to us who believe. Hebrews chapter 9 and 14. It's in your Bibles. Jesus thinking about how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. You know, it's hard to worship a God that you know that's high and holy and majestic and all of that and perfect in all his ways. And you bring your scruffy self up next to him to say you're going to try to worship him. That it can mess with your head. I don't know about you. So, I don't wear a halo. I don't pretend to wear a halo. I know what God did for me. I know how he delivered me. I know what he bought me out of, y'all. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is able to save through his gospel and through his blood. But y'all, if you're not careful, if you're not real careful, you let that stuff from back there creep up on you, get in your head and tell you, listen, you ain't qualified to serve God. Who do you think you are? Y'all, I got some folk in them today, some cousins in them today, some old friends today. Who you think you are? Because you preaching now, because you pastoring now. I remember back then. I remember back then too, but I remember what Jesus did for me. I remember the blood of Jesus Christ, y'all. So say what you got to say about me. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God. Yeah, he saved me by his blood, and I'm glad about it. Blood doesn't just cleanse us from sin. No, it cleans up our mind. It cleans up our conscience, y'all. All the stuff that we used to do, the places we used to hang out, but we don't do that anymore because we repented and we turned to God. Because the problem is, if you stay back there in your head, if you stay back there in your heart, y'all, it's a trap. It's a trap from the enemy. Avoid that trap because you'll never be able to flourish in God. to serve God the way you need to serve God, to pray the way you need to pray, because there's something always knocking on your mind, and you remember. Shut that door, y'all, in the name of Jesus. Shut that door. So we repent. We ask God to forgive us. Door still open and knocking. You need to close that door. It's important to our relationship with God. It's critical to our relationship, y'all, that we know that we're qualified to do what God has called us to do. How many people say, I can't do that? You know, I can't pray. I can't be on the praise team. I can't usher, because, preacher, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I'm still struggling with and dealing with. Well, I dare to say, I don't care who stands in this place, who's sitting out there. Everybody's dealing with something or another every now and again. And so all of us are fighting against something. And so negate all of that stuff. You are qualified to do what God called you to do, because you repented and you called on the name of Jesus and you pleaded his blood in your life. And that's what matters. So don't be like that hamster that's on a wheel. Y'all know the hamster always going around and around and around. And if we're not careful, y'all, our guilty conscience, our guilty mind will keep us going around and around and around about stuff that we've already, that we've repented from. God, I'm sorry. He heard you that you were sorry. So take the sorry, you know, and take that and go and do what God called you to do. Because it simply won't work. So blood allows us to approach God and live for him and serve him. Serve from a place of freedom and love and gratitude rather than guilt. I've heard some people, y'all, in doing prison ministry, or heard some people that have been incarcerated, they're now out of prison. They say, listen, I wonder sometimes why is it that, you know, I was a convict. Yeah, I did some wrong stuff. But I repented, and I believe God forgave me. But people still want to tell me what I used to do. Can I tell you something? Don't tell nobody. But all of us are an ex something. In a sense, all of us are ex-felons. All of us are ex-convicts. That's some stuff that we've done that we should not have done. And so for you today, if you're holding on to guilt, if you're holding on to shame, I want to talk to you today. Because the Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking after the Spirit, if you're living according to Jesus' word, listen, if you've repented, if you're pleading the blood, listen, you are forgiven. Listen, you're qualified. You're qualified. You're qualified. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to feel guilty. You can do what he called you to do. You can walk in his presence, pray in his, live in his presence. You're qualified. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Not only that, y'all, the blood, this is what I love about the blood, that the blood forgives, y'all. That it's the AKA, it's the restoring blood. It's the redemptive work of Christ who shed his red blood that forgives us of our sins. Hebrews 9:22 says this, according to the law of Moses, required nearly everything be cleansed with the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. There can be no forgiveness of sins. But because of the blood, we are forgiven of our sins. You read over in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 18, 19, 20, keep reading. Say, listen, they sprinkled the blood on everything. Sprinkled it on the law. Sprinkled it on the people. Sprinkle. Sprinkle. Sprinkle, sprinkle. But as much sprinkling was going on, it made people ceremonially appear, but their heart still wasn't right. But Jesus stepped in and did something greater than the Old Testament priest or the blood of bull and goats could do. That he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you and me to forgive us now and forever and forever and for no more sprinkling, no more sprinkling, no more. You are forgiven of your now and always when you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Write these scriptures down, y'all. They're good. They're good. It says this, Ephesians 1, 7. He, God, is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us of our sins. You see, you need to let that register in your heart. Let it, let it register in your spirit. Until it really registers on your praise meter, listen, you can't understand the magnitude of God's majesty in our messiness, his justice in our injustice, in our unjust ways, his holiness versus our hatefulness and hellishness. It's amazing, y'all, that his grace is amazing. His saving grace is amazing. It comes by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. But as amazing as it is, it's so amazing. Isn't it awful that we can't follow God's lead and forgive the way he forgives? That we have to hold on to stuff. We hold on to our grudges. We won't let go of what people did to us years ago. We refuse to drop some stuff. But we think about this holy God who sent his son to die for you and for me, to shed his blood on Calvary's cross, to forgive us of our sins. That the shedding of the blood is the redemptive, atoning, and sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. And if he's gracious enough, kind enough, loving enough, caring enough to forgive me, who can I not forgive? What can I not forgive? So let some stuff go today, y'all. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Let it go according to the blood of Jesus Christ that forgave you. Let it go. Let it go. Let go of it. The blood forgives. God, I thank you. The blood forgives. God, I'm getting happy. The blood forgives, y'all. The blood forgives. So I think about an electronic calculator. We're talking about how the blood forgives. I remember when I was young and how I used to love to play with the calculator, not to really do calculation. I'm trying to get it to spell a word. You know, we did that in school. In grade, you turn it upside down, you can get it to say certain words, you know, with the numbers on the screen. But have you ever noticed that on an electronic calculator, you can make the wrong calculation, but it doesn't mess everything up. That all you have to do is go to the calculator. Look, there's a button on that calculator called clear. And once you press that clear on that calculator, you can start all over again. I want to let you know something. One day God pressed the clear button in my life, and I can start all over again, y'all. That he washed me with his precious blood. He saved me with his power, y'all. He pressed the clear button. Anybody glad he pressed the clear button in your life, and you can start all over again? I thank God for the blood this morning. I thank him for the blood. If you are in Christ, listen, you're forgiven. That God's grace and mercy is poured out on you by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood brings forgiveness, restored fellowship that was lost a long time ago in the Garden of Eden. Yes. The blood forgives. It's the restoring blood. I'm almost done, y'all. It's the last thing and we'll be out. That the blood, that it conquers. Yes. Can we call this the fighting blood? I'm talking about the fighting blood. Hebrews 9, in short, y'all, it's a reminder of Christ's perfect sacrifice for your sins and for my sins, once and for all. I'm so glad it's no longer, Pastor David, about rituals. It's about rules and regulations. Y'all believe me, in the church, we can come up with a whole bunch of rules and regulations, stuff that ain't even in the Bible, y'all. We just come up with stuff. What the bylaws said and the Constitution said. Then we come up with some stuff, y'all. But listen, we're not saved by human works. Not saved by anything that we do. We're saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the atoning work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And I'm glad about it, y'all. Because I don't measure up, y'all. I don't measure up, y'all. That my head ain't always right, y'all. I don't always say the right thing. But that's why I'm grateful for the blood that saved me from my sin, past, present, and future. But it's amazing that we are cleansed from our sins because of the blood. that we are cleansed. Our conscience is cleansed. Because of the blood. That we are forgiven forevermore because of the eternal work of Jesus Christ on because of the blood. But as I talked about the qualifying blood, I even say now, isn't it amazing that sin still tries to hang on to us? that there's a very real devil who is our enemy. And Revelation chapter 12 lets us know that he is an accuser of the brothers and sisters. But guess how we overcome? Guess how we fight? That we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I wonder if anybody has a testimony today about the blood of Jesus. Anybody have a testimony about his saving work? Anybody have a testimony about his saving power? Anybody know what he did for you? Can't nobody tell you, but you know what the Lord did for you. You know that you know that you know that you know that he saved you, and that settled it. I'm banking on the blood of Jesus. Nothing else but the blood of Jesus. So when the enemy comes in to bring up some stuff against you, to accuse you, and to put you down, you have to learn how to fight. But we fight not with human weapons, because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against us, we have to fight with the word of God. We have to fight with prayer. We have to fight with obedience. We have to fight in trusting God. And we have to fight with the blood of Jesus. So when the accuser comes, you fight with the blood of Jesus. Know what the blood of Jesus means, what he did for you. Remind yourself and the enemy about the blood that delivers you, but it defeats him. Years ago, when we were at RAF Mildenhall in England, during that time, y'all, they had a disease that broke out called mad cow's disease. That there was something wrong with the beef, y'all. I don't know what it was. I guess if a bird can get the flu, a cow can go mad. I don't know about all of that stuff, but I remember looking at BBC, the television program, and them showing the cows, y'all, and I'm in dread because the cow was shaking and got a foam coming from his mouth, and I'm looking at my family and say, they ain't shaking, they got no foam coming, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, no mad cow disease, y'all, no mad cow disease.
That's right.
But listen, so after our tour there, we came back to the United States, and we were stationed at Little Rock Air Force Base in Arkansas. And so being the good family that we were, that we are, we decided we would give some blood to the blood bank. And so they had this mobile blood bank. I forgot where they had it positioned, but we went into this mobile blood bank, y'all, prepared to give some blood. You know, fill out the questionnaire, all of that stuff. Get ready for that big stick because they're getting ready to get a paint or two. They're gonna give you some juice and some cookies afterwards. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But the lady said to me, "Sir, I'm sorry. I'm reading your chart here, and you cannot give blood." I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I noticed in your record that you were stationed overseas in England at one time, and I'm sure you've heard about mad cow disease. Yeah, I heard about it. Well, for that reason, you cannot give blood today. As a matter of fact, she told me in that moment, you cannot give blood indefinitely. I'm like, I can never give blood? You mean I ain't never got to get stuck again? No. I think the ban has finally been lifted. It's how many years now? It's 5, 7. So now you can give it now. But here's what I'm thinking, that we can't give blood. That people are in need of blood. Life-saving blood. They're in need of a blood transfusion. But you reject my blood. That my blood can't help. Can I tell you, we're all in need of a blood transfusion. But my Bible tells me that the blood of goats and bulls will not do. That there's only one blood that will do, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you take 1 minute with me just to praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ? That it's the saving blood. It's the delivering blood. It's the keeping blood. It's the powerful blood. It's eternal blood. It's saving blood. It's the powerful blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. What shall take away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious is that blow that makes me whiter than snow. God, it's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you, that cleanses you, that cleanses your conscience, that forgives you, that gives you the ability to fight back when the enemy wants to come to tell you you're not saved. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And in the words, of that great poet, Denzel Washington. At the end of Equalizer 3. Yeah, I'm an Equalizer fan, y'all. I'm an Equalizer. Robert McCall. After Denzel, Robert McCall, as he killed a whole bunch of folk, y'all, and blood is everywhere. There's one man, there's one enemy that's still there. And he gives him some pills. Y'all saw Equalizer 3. Who saw it in the house today? So if you happen, you need to go see it. But anyway, and so the man is choking, and Denzel is just watching him. He's looking at him. As the man's about to go, he's telling him, in a few minutes, this is going to happen. Your heart going to stop beating. The man just, I'm going to get you. He's like, no, he's not going to get him. This man going to die. He's going to die in a few seconds. But anybody remember the end of that movie, what Denzel said? Anybody remember the song he broke out in at the end of that movie? He said, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. If you know it was the blood, can you stand on your feet one more time and praise God for the blood? Nothing but the blood. I know it was the blood, y'all. I just know it was the blood. Nothing else could help me. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't deliver myself. There was nothing I could do. Nothing I could do. But in the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent his son into the world. And he died for me. He shed his blood for me and for you. God, we thank you. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your blood. We praise you for your blood. Your delivering blood, your saving blood, your keeping blood, your eternal blood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on. Can we give God some praise in the house today? If you're grateful for the blood. I ain't got enough to tell you. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. I'm banking on the blood, y'all. I'm banking on his blood. With my sometimes up, sometimes down, I'm banking on the blood. Sometimes in my right mind, sometimes crazy the roll is, I'm banking on the blood, y'all. Don't always get it right, I'm banking on the blood, y'all. The blood that saves me gives me power and strength to live from him every day of my life. Hallelujah and amen. God, we thank you today. God, even now, speak by the power of your Holy Spirit to that person that does not know you in the pardon of their sins. For God so loved the world, regardless of your background or your skin color, where you're from. For God so loved the world, regardless of your socioeconomic status. For God so loved the world, regardless of your political status. That God loved you and me enough to send his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins, that he shed his blood for you and for me. If you would but believe that today, that God loves you with an everlasting love, that Jesus died for you, but he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his. If you believe that today, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved today and forevermore because of what Jesus did, because of the power of his precious blood, the atoning work, the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you today. So God, speak to a heart right now. Speak to that person that doesn't know you. Do what only you can do by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we cannot do it. We cannot save. Only you can save. So God, we pray that you save to the utmost all that come to you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise in the house today. You may be seated in God's presence. Be seated in God's presence. In this moment. We don't rush this moment. But if you are here today, and you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, What does that mean? To be in a saving relationship starts with admitting that we have all sinned and fallen short of His glory. That none of us are perfect. That we don't always get it right. And even if you are saved today, you still don't always get it right. But guess what? The blood's got you covered. But if you're believing for the first time, if His word is spoken to you, we have ushers that are standing in the aisle right now. Their hands are extended. And so we invite you into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You admit that you are a sinner, that you're willing to repent, to turn from your sins and to turn to Jesus, and to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that the motivation of your heart has to be right, that you believe, that you believe, that you believe that Jesus Christ is real, that He died for you. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart motivation is right with God. That saves you. That settles it. So if you're here today and you're believing for the first time, we invite you. Their arms are extended. You can get up from right where you are, go over across the hallway with them to room number one. We have new member ministry advisors that are there to meet with you. They will gather information from you, and we will welcome you with open arms. If you're tuned into our online ministry right now, listen, there's an invitation extended to you as well. All you have to do, there should be a link that's showing on the screen right now. Click on that link. It has information about what it means to be a new member. It's got a new member information card, a form in there. Fill out that information. Fill it out. And I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we will welcome you with open arms. The church said, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.